You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. Please be seated. So this is Baptism of the Lord Sunday. We are almost into ordinary time in the church. You'll start to see the green linens and paraments come out. And so we're in for a time of, well, anything but ordinary. It's hard to look at 2025 and think this is just another year. It's a landmark kind of year where we have great empty slates waiting to be filled. And my prayer is that we, the church, will take advantage of this time and fill those slates with all manner of goodness and ministry for the people beyond these doors. Our lesson this morning comes to us from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. I'm in Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 14. And Luke writes, "Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them, Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit." Now, it's a short passage of Scripture, but there is an important spiritual principle that's at work here. It's easy for us to overlook if we're not diligent in our study of the Scriptures. The part that says the receiving of the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands, the laying on of hands of one who was divinely appointed for that purpose. In this case, Peter and John as representatives of the church. See, in this account, someone, it's not clear exactly who, was busily about God's work in Samaria, and whoever it was baptized a group of Samaritans in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing, to be sure. But it's apparent here in Luke's writing in the Acts that more attention was needed to complete the task, and so the apostles sent Peter and John as representatives of the church to carry out the necessary completion of the work that had been started in Samaria, which required the presence and the power of the divinely appointed and authorized founders and representatives of the church. Now, you might think, well, that was just a one-time thing. But no, there are many examples in Scripture. One such example, when Paul was in Ephesus, later on in Acts chapter 19, here's this account. "While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?' They replied, 'No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit.' Then he said, 'Into what then were you baptized?' And they answered, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. See, when Paul, the appointed and divinely authorized representative of the church, laid hands on them after they were baptized in the name of Jesus, then the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to exercise the gifts of the Spirit, in this specific case, speaking in tongues and prophesying. So the spiritual principle that we're seeing in Scripture, in addition to the laying on of hands by an appointed, authorized representative of the church, one may also receive the Holy Spirit by hearing the preaching of the Word of God from such a representative. And we see that in Acts chapter 10. Peter is such an agent of the church. This is what that passage in Acts tells us. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days of preaching. What are we to glean this morning from these examples given to us in Holy Scripture? Well, first and foremost, I think it's important that we see that baptism is important in the faith life of every person. It was important to Jesus that he himself was baptized by John the Baptist, not for the repentance of sins that he had committed, because he was without sin, but rather because it was an example to others and an act of obedience and submission to the will of the Father. It was important for Jesus to demonstrate that obedience and submission so that everyone else could see it then and now. And if it was important for Jesus, then it's important for us to be baptized in that manner. For us, baptism, the act of baptism, is not in and of itself a salvation event. You see, there's still more that needs to be accomplished to finish the act of conversion that leads to transformation. Baptism merely by water, although it should be done, is not the act that leads us to salvation. It's not a salvation event in and of itself. In addition to the sacrament of baptism performed by an appointed and divinely authorized agent of the church, there is for each person a requirement of confirmation, confession, and proclamation of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, and a proclamation of belief in Christ as resurrected. You see, it's the belief in the resurrected Christ and the proclamation of Jesus as Lord in your life that is the salvation event. Baptism either follows that or precedes it. It doesn't matter which. It can either pave the way for that salvation event, or it can seal it after it takes place. Either way is biblical. either way is correct, whether you were baptized as an infant or baptized as you came to Christ, makes no difference. It's the proclamation of and belief in Jesus Christ that saves. There is no other thing that accomplishes that. As we see in the scriptural examples that we've seen in Acts this morning, there is a need for the laying on of hands and the hearing of the word by an authorized representative of God's holy church, so that each new Christian might receive the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts that he brings to each as they are called. The passing of this authority by the laying on of hands is more than just a tradition of the church. Now, this laying on of hands is something that theologians call apostolic succession, and there are various beliefs about this. I'm not going to get into all the weeds surrounding it, but understand this, it's more than tradition, it is rather by divine ordinance that the laying on of hands from the apostles all the way to this humble pastor standing in front of you is part of God's plan for the church. This is important, and I'll explain why. There is a thing in the church called sacramental authority. Sacramental authority exists to ensure that the divine ordinances and means of grace are passed to the congregation in such a way that they have substance and meaning, ushering in the grace of God to the people. Sacramental authority is given to those that have been called and appointed for these specific acts of faith and obedience. Acts such as the Holy Sacrament of Baptism, the Holy Sacrament of Holy Communion or the Eucharist at the Lord's table, preaching the Word of God and the ushering in of the Holy Spirit, which then can be received by each individual Christian. It's important in the way the church operates to make sure that those who are called to deliver and distribute those ordinances are the ones who do it. The point is that there's a tendency in the world today to diminish the importance of the role of the church in the lives of people. You've heard people who are professing Christians say, I don't need to be in a church in order to worship God. And the Acts of the Apostles and countless other places in Scripture say, no, that's not true. Truly, the church has to take some responsibility for the decline of the importance of the lives of the church, because historically we've just not done the best job of spreading that message in such a way that would get that important message of the role of the church across to the people. Many people only look to the church for certain events in their lives. What are they? Baptism of an infant, ushering someone in, and funerals, ushering someone out. Now, there's a couple of events in between, a wedding, maybe, confirmation, communion. But all the days in between those life events rarely find most people out there involved with anything having to do with the church. looking to the church as a help to navigate through the fallen and broken world is a concept that's foreign to most people, believe it or not. For myself, I can't imagine trying to navigate through this thing called life in this broken world without the church. I can't imagine it. And my heart goes out to those people that don't have a relationship with the living Christ, because they're trying to do this thing based solely on what? Their own willpower, their own power. The truth of the matter is that the role of the church for the spreading of scriptural holiness in the land is biblically mandated, divinely appointed and authorized. The role of the church to provide pastors and teachers for the building up and equipping the body of Christ until all that will believe come to the full measure of maturity in Christ. That is divinely ordained and purposed by God Himself. God has ordained the church. And Jesus Himself said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And as the church, we need to rise to the epiphany opportunity that we've been given to bring people into the everyday life of the church. You know, this, I probably shouldn't let this cat out of the bag, Sheila, and I'm sorry, but this Ring camera that we've installed is a real eye-opener. You would not believe how many people visit this church during the week for one reason or another. There's a lot going on out there. I have seen complete strangers while the epiphany, nativity scene has been up. I have seen complete strangers stop and just get out of their car and gaze upon it. And I don't mean just for a few minutes. I mean for 20, 30 minutes, they will stand in front of it. Sometimes just a person, sometimes several people, a family with children, and they'll just stand there and gaze at the nativity, because there's a hunger and a need, and maybe they can't define it. And I've never seen it before. We had our security measures upgraded a little bit. I also see a whole lot of work being done by a couple of people. They know who they are. They're up here all the time, literally every day, doing things for the church. There's a few of you who come up regularly. It actually does my heart good to see such commitment. And my prayer is that as we go forward in this new year, that we all gain a sense of ownership in this body of Christ. There's things that need to be done. There's ministry that needs to be accomplished. And if we don't do it, who will? The answer is no one. It goes undone if the church, and that includes our Baptist friends across the street and our Pentecostal friends down the street, if the church doesn't do the kingdom work in this community, it doesn't get done. As the church, we have to rise to this epiphany opportunity. The role of the church is not just important for people, it's mandated by God, ordained by God, instituted by God for people. Because here in the church, the word of life is preached. The word of God is studied here in the church. the ordinances of God are attended to. Those things that God insists we do are attended to here in the church. The holy sacraments are imparted as a means of grace to all that will receive them. The Holy Spirit gifts His Holy Spirit gifts to individual people after they have received the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands of someone in that long line of apostolic succession. When I was ordained and Bishop Jones laid his hands on me and said, "Take authority in the church." With my certificate, my ordination certificate was a list that goes back as far as John Wesley of every bishop that has laid hands on every bishop, that has laid hands on every pastor, on every person, all the way back to John Wesley. John Wesley, who was part of the Church of England, had a list of every person, every bishop that had laid hands on every bishop in the Church of England, all the way back as far as there was a Church of England, which would be Henry VIII. And before that, there was a line of apostolic succession. And yes, it's been debated over centuries because, well, during the Dark Ages, records weren't as accurate as they probably could have been. But there is an apostolic succession before the Church of England, the Anglican Church, that goes back before there was any other denomination besides the Church, all the way back to Peter, the Apostle. How does that happen except through the divine mandate of God Himself to establish the church? 2,000 plus years of apostolic succession. I challenge anyone to say that the role of the church is not important in the lives of people. So think about your role as the church.
If all these things happen here, the word of life is preached, the word of God is studied, the ordinances of God are attended to, the holy sacraments are imparted as a means of grace to everyone that will receive them. If all that stuff happens here, shouldn't every one of God's created people be a part of it? And if everyone is supposed to be a part of it, shouldn't we, as the church that exists right now in 2025, be the ones to go and tell them how important it is that they get their spirit aligned with the Holy Spirit? Because this might be the year. I'm not saying it is, because I have no idea. This might be the year that Jesus decides it's time to come get His church. When you think about it in those terms, we have a mission and very little time to accomplish it. So we all have a role. Are you ready to take your role and to make it happen in someone's life this week? Tell them about Jesus. Tell them what Jesus has done in your life. Bring them into the fold. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.